You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look! Up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. It's Friday night. I'm your host, Martin Bruda, and with me today are...
Chris Ellis.
Chris Gilpin.
Adam Bishop.
How are you lads doing today on this fantastic Friday?
Doing good.
Doing all right.
Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah. given everything the state of the world's in, doing okay.
Exactly. Crazy yep. Chaos. Just I was looking at the news, which is always depressing, but then I fortunately switched to comic book news, and holy moly, like everything's getting delayed and everything's getting pushed back. And
yep. We're back into that again.
What did they say? That Elementals? No. Why do I keep saying Elementals? Eternals. Eternals is postponed for another 2 months?
That doesn't bother me too much, really.
Yeah.
That one I'm not really interested in, I guess, so it doesn't bother me too much.
There's lots of toy leaks online of the upcoming Marvel Legends for those, the Eternal figures.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So kind of showing a preview of what the costumes are going to look like for each character?
I think it was a villain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got like a massive cast on that too, though. Like, holy moly. It's like a billion people in that. Wasn't like Salma Hayek in it and stuff?
Oh, actually in the movie?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It was never a book that I ever read, so I was never like, oh, I'm so excited to see that. I really wanted to see New Mutants, but I never got around to actually getting out and going to do it. So I missed going to see it with you guys, and so it kind of slipped by. I don't even think it's in the theater now. But...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just did a Google search for Eternals, see what the cast is, and of course I typed in Elementals.
Angelina Jolie. Selma Hayek, Harry Styles, and Kit Harington,
and Richard Madden. What do they do? Have the entire cast of Game of Thrones in here?
Yeah, pretty much.
They're all available now.
Yeah, exactly. They're all. Yeah, there it is. Selma Hayek, Angelina Jolie, like you said. Holy moly, that's quite a few characters. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it isn't a book that I followed along very well either in any of its incarnations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be a tough sell for people, but...
However, they said the same thing about Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is true.
You know, everybody was like, this isn't even the Guardians of the Galaxy cast. I mean, it's like none of the original Guardians are in it, and it's going to be crappy, yeah. And that turned out to be one of the best movies that Marvel made.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So we'll see how it goes. Speaking of TV and movies, did you guys see the Invincible cartoon trailer that dropped today?
No.
Amazon Prime. What's his name? Kirkman? How can I be brain farting on Kirkman's first name right now?
I don't know. Robert.
Robert. Oh my goodness. How the heck did we do that?
I don't know,
but even Chris fell down. I saw him reaching for his comic.
It's like,
yeah.
That guy who writes like the 3 comic books that we read the most?
Yeah.
That guy? That fella?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be on Amazon Prime Video in 2021, and it's a cartoon based on Invincible. So they have a 1 minute trailer.
Looks I wonder cool. if it's going to be as graphic.
Well, it is Amazon, so it's possible.
Yeah, like The Boys.
It looks like the art looks perfect. The art literally looks like it's lifted out of the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's fantastic. So that should be fun. It doesn't say exactly when it opens, just 2021. So God only knows.
Oh, Glenn from The Walking Dead is voicing him. Steven Yeun.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
And Spock is going to be in there. Zachary Quinto.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen as Alan the Alien.
There you go.
Walter Jillian. Goggins. He's my favorite. I love Walter Goggins. Jillian yeah, Jacobs. Is that the young lady from...
Community.
Community, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Be interesting.
I think so. Should be fun.
So Mark Hamill, apparently.
Yeah.
Good old Mark Hamill.
He's in everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So has anybody been reading this week? Anything interesting? Anything exciting?
Go ahead, Adam.
You go first. You have it in your hand.
Okay. So I picked this up today. I'm not sure when it came out. I don't know if you guys can read it or not. It's The Brooklyn Gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
But it's under Heavy Metal now.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the art is done by Bisley. So I gave that a read before I got on the show here. It is not like the Chapter House version at all.
No,
it's pretty wild. Like everybody's on drugs.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't read the Chapter House version for whatever reason. I just never got a chance to pick it up.
Oh no. I bought it. I read it. And to be honest, I think I read like 3/4 of it. And I'm like, this is kind of dry. But that is going to be a very, very fun series to read. And I'm surprised Adam didn't grab that with the Bisley art. But I imagine he'll be adding that to the pull list, eh?
possibly, yeah. I love Melting Pot. His art's great.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm not sure who did the art for the Chapter House version, but it wasn't... wasn't my taste, but this is actually kind of cool. It's kind of like a lean back to like Melting Pot, and yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
So how would that work? Why would it jump companies like that?
I'm not 100% sure. It's definitely more graphic, and there's a lot more language.
If we're just going to pause, Chris, you need to move your mic about an inch away from your mouth.
Oh, am I popping?
It's popping a lot.
Oh, okay. Is that better? Sorry.
Yeah.
Pop, pop, pop. Thanks for mine's two knuckles away.
Well, so, we know that, like, obviously we understand why it left Chapter House.
Yeah, especially if he was going for the adult run, which this very much is in that vein. Like, there's nudity in it, like full frontal, and
yay!
It's, you know, like, and everybody's on drugs. Like, literally everybody in it is on drugs. So I could kind of see why they maybe Chapter House really wasn't the venue for something like that.
The other thing that could happen too is when he was approached by Heavy Metal or started discussing it with Heavy Metal, it was all of a sudden, you know, the opportunity to make a more adult version or delve into more adult stuff is available, right? Maybe he didn't set out to do that, but maybe not. I don't know.
But to get Simon on board, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen him write down the name. Yeah, I'm gonna have to grab those.
Yeah, I haven't seen him do regular work in a while.
It's too bad we're not in the studio, so you could actually like leaf through it and see it. but if I was to hold it up, you wouldn't see the pages anyways. It would just be all glare. And, but I miss being on the in the studio, guys. I miss it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so I thought I brought that one, and then I picked this one up when we went to Gotham.
Oh yeah, the Treasury size. Yeah,
the Treasury size G.I. Joe number one from IDW. Yeah. It was like their first kick at the can after the Marvel series. So I picked that up. I haven't actually cracked it because the bag is so intricate. I was afraid to destroy it. It's like a ginormous bag, all like super mega ultra taped up.
Oh, just take an X-Acto knife to it and slide it down the side.
Yeah.
I got
The book.
I got Treasury bags and boards if you need one. So.
Ooh. Oh, do you? Yeah. That'd be great because that's just like cardboard in a bag.
Yeah.
But
so crack it open and go nuts.
Yeah. Okay, cool. It and it was only $10. So I was kind of surprised.
Oh, wow.
But I have most of that series in first print, you know, like when IDW first came out with it. I was like, it was so cool to see all the characters back again.
Yeah. I'm just surfing the Heavy Metal site to see if I can see a preview of that issue. Okay. How much do you think a 3-year subscription for Heavy Metal magazine is for Canada?
$250. Oh, wow.
$503.49, and it doesn't specify whether that's U.S. or Canadian funds.
Wow. For Heavy Metal magazine, or? Yeah,
36 issues of Heavy Metal magazine published 12 times per year. The price is $503.49.
Wow.
That's bonkers.
I remember when I was a little kid and my dad wanted, I think it was called Boot Magazine, which turned into Maximum PC Magazine. And
in Boot.
There you go. See, I read it too. It came with the boot disc. he went to Smith Books and Lansdowne Place and got them to set aside him the issue every single month because it was like half the price of getting the subscription sent to your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. It's bonkers.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, it is a big book, and there's like it's fairly thick for a magazine, but that's a lot of dough.
Yeah. What's here we go. This is for the US. Oh, this is monthly subscription. I was trying to see if I could find a US version for the subscription, but oh my gosh, like that's bonkers. Here we go. Heavy Metal 3-year US, Heavy Metal 3-year Canadian. And the Heavy Metal 3-year worldwide. So the US subscription for 3 years is $360.99. How much is a single issue? Like, are we talking a $12 magazine?
I was gonna say probably 13 US and then like 20 Canadian.
Yeah. Because some of those thicker magazines are pretty up there, aren't they?
Yeah. I haven't bought one since the 90s, I'll be honest. But
yeah. Oh, I remember I went into to Dixon's Books, rest in peace, to see if they got the new Jack Kirby issue that came out, and they never did. It had all the, like the, I can't remember what it was, but yeah. He's just like, no. And I was like, okay.
You got this? No. Okay.
No. All right.
Moving on.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I read Batman 100.
Who?
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Batman 100.
What's special about Batman 100?
For Pete's sakes, that's the sound of another one of these bags splitting along the seam. Oh, wow. I'm going to have to talk to that guy. $6.99 US for the regular cover and regular book.
Oh,
now, mind you, it's thick. I don't know how many pages this is. It's square bound. So I'm guessing 64 pages, 48 pages, whatever. But this is the finale of the Joker War.
Oh, okay. It's the finale.
And it kind of ends the Joker War. And, well, you know, like the Joker is alive and Batman, I don't think Batman has his money. I think Catwoman gave his money to Lucius Fox's family. So I don't know if Bruce is still broke. I kind of missed that one detail. I have to reread it. But of course, I mean, the art is just amazing. This is Phil Jimenez. I mean, just awesome stuff. And Batgirl puts the Oracle glasses on again and coordinates everything from the Watchtower. And, Nightwing's back and you know, just kind of restoring everything to the status quo. Sort of, kind of, you know. But I don't know. Again, I just think that that series ran a little bit longer than it needed to.
But the Joker War, you mean?
Yeah, the Joker War.
Well, Joker Warzone's out now, too. How was that connected?
Joker Warzone, I bought that, and it is, it's almost like it's a preview of upcoming storylines in all the Batman books for 2021.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like, this is what's going to happen in the Batgirl comic. This is what's going to happen in Detective Comics. This is what's going to happen. So it's kind of like a little hint about stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. Looks like there's going to be a Signal comic book. So it's whoever Signal is. And what's the name of the young lady who was Batgirl for a little while? The blonde. I think she's in it.
Oh, spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler. I think that's her name.
That was her
her code name.
Code name, yeah.
Yeah. So I think she's in it, and so it was just kind of like a preview. It was like an anthology of stories, just kind of letting you know, well, this is what Detective Comics is going to look like next year. This is what Batman is going to look like next year. This is what Batgirl is going to look like next year.
Stephanie Brown.
That's the one.
What's her name?
Stephanie Brown. Oh, apparently I can get Brooklyn Gladiator number one Kindle edition.
Ah.
But I can't get a physical copy of the new comic on Amazon.
Oh.
That's okay. I just ordered the Chapter House Brooklyn Gladiator trade paper on Amazon for $13.50.
Did you get Detective Comics number 1027?
No, I skipped that one.
Yeah. You got it's $9.99 US.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. It's almost a trade paperback, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. Well, it's 144-page mega spectacular, it says.
Wow.
Is it mega or spectacular?
No, it's both.
Is it really, though?
I don't know. It's one of those nods I got it today. Picked it up today.
I think that's one of those books where it's going to have like a story at the first part of it and then just a whole bunch of filler random stories and or reprints.
Yep.
That's, yeah, I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah, I don't know if that's disappointing or not. Or
are they starting to reach with Batman? Like, I don't follow him as like a monthly kind of series. I haven't bought a Batman book per se since they did Nightfall.
Well, I picked up my books today. It's been a few weeks, and I've got one detective, one the three Jokers, the Batman Joker Warzone, and three copies of Batman, 99.90 or 98.99, 100. So, out of all the books, like 80% are Batman.
Yeah. Other than the Flash, Batman's been my one consistent buy.
Yeah. I should have dropped Detective a long time ago. I haven't actually read it for a while.
Oh, you just buy it and bag it, board it, and move on?
Yeah, there's a whole stack of them. Last I read it, it was like a team book with Clayface, Batwoman, and a couple other people I can't even remember now. I think they were fighting her father or something. It's been a long time.
That's actually the same type of book that I was reading today, which was the Batman Max Arkham Dreams.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which I didn't really like it that much. Keith's Batman looks like a parody Batman from like Mad Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just the style of it. I'm looking at it and I'm like, and the story was like Batman picks up the Max from the alleyway where the police are like going to arrest him and takes him to Arkham. And then, I don't know, they just use like brain waves and then Batman gets pulled into the Outback. It was, Mars shakes that.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Batman in Australia. Sure. Why not?
X-Men, no, it's not. The Outback is not Australia. It's
a restaurant.
Something different.
Because even Batman's like Australia, and then there's a doctor who's like, no, it's a place in the mind where the Max lives. The art is great, but the story was Batman's art looked really bad. The Max looks great, and the story was just mediocre.
Okay. Now, was that the trade, or was that just like
issue? That's one? Just issue one.
Now, did they have problems with the rest of the issues? Because I think I have issue one, but I don't think I have the rest of the series.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw one at CBA is where I grabbed it from, and I never saw it again. Yeah. And when I was going through it at the back, it shows the 19 different variant covers. I was just oh no. Yeah.
My personal favorite.
Yep.
That's a bit bonkers.
Yeah. Give everybody a shot. Yeah. Go to a grade 12 art class. Okay, everybody, let's have a
Mac to be Batman fair, cover. Like one cover was like a naked cover, then the sketch of that drawing. So it was like three of the same cover, just different, but then there was like 15 other ones.
Yeah. I don't know. Just by taking the one cover and like taking the color out and then taking the words off, like really, does it matter? It's the same cover, really.
Yeah.
It's just different stages of whether, you know, completion.
Yeah. I think I just got the normal cover. CBA did have a variant cover, and I looked up and I was like, $20. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can be cheap when it comes to the variant covers too. Yeah. Like the White Widow stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like the regular book is $5, then the next level is $10, and that like that's a US price. And then the third book is like $39.99 for like this crazy cover, like the lenticular covers.
Yeah.
And Adam was trying to get me to buy the lenticulars.
It's like, I found the numbers you need. You're like, no. And I'm like, why? You're like, look at the price. I'm like, oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Because I'm poor.
Yeah, I'm done with variant covers unless it's like something really special, like you know, Chris is collecting Arthur Adams, right? He's an Arthur Adams fanatic, so he gets the Arthur Adams cover. Fine, that's awesome, right? But to sit there and go, well, I need all 61 copies of Eternals number one. I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. I am so done with it.
You know, like that's like a third of a long box.
I know, it's bonkers.
To issue one.
It's bonkers.
Yeah. I'll admit it. I was a product of the 90s and I have variants. So back then the variant though was you got the direct edition. And you had the newsstand, right? They had two editions. One usually came polybagged, or it had like the fancy cover, and the other one was just like a plain cover. So pretty much every number one had two issues. So I have like, you know, everyone that had one, I have both issues of number one, right? Because, you know, number ones, they're worth a lot of money down the road.
Gold, Jerry, it's gold.
Gold.
Yeah. So I have comics that aren't worth what I paid for them from the 90s.
You are not the only person.
Yeah. $1.95, good luck getting that back.
That's one of the reasons why when that Thor God of Thunder or whatever.
Yeah.
That went speculator nuts. I'm like, I got those issues. Bam, get them on eBay. Get them out of my storage locker.
And you made bank.
Yeah, I sold them.
Yeah, that was good.
I think I got, if I'm not mistaken, my exchange is correct, I got $600 Canadian for issues 1 through 25. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll take it, you know. Plus I charged a decent amount of shipping because I knew I was going to be selling it to the States and stuff, and I wanted tracking and signature because they got
That's
a lot of money too, right?
Don't forget to pay your eBay fees.
Yeah, you gotta save some for eBay fees and all that sort of stuff. So, but I took some of that money, flipped it, and my latest obsession is DC Archives, picking up some of the DC Archives that I'm still missing.
Okay.
And in typical Martin Bruta fashion, I now have at least two doubles
of Archives.
Because I've messed up and ordered twice, and I don't know. there's got excited.
Spend money.
Yeah, I've got it's just around the corner, but there's a paperback from I think his the character's name was Dynamo from the Thunder Agents comic book in the 60s. So they made a paperback with reprints, right? And on the cover is Dynamo dressed in red and white instead of his normal blue and white costume. And this cover is very infamous because it looks suspiciously like it could have been possibly, maybe, just perhaps, perchance, on the sort of kinda an influence for the Captain Canuck number one cover of 1975-4, whatever that was. It's this exact same pose and the costume's very similar and all that sort of stuff. And it's weird because that's the first time Dynamo was ever shown in blue in red instead of blue. So us Canuck collectors, we kind of want a copy of this. I don't know how it happened. I just have no clue how it happened. I got three copies of them. One showed up 3 weeks ago, one showed up last week, and one showed up today, and I'm like, I don't think I bought this three times this month.
Yeah, you did.
Like, I got three copies of this stupid paperback book, and now I gotta go through my records here and see, you know, answer like feedback left, and I'm sure I'll come across it'll be like, hey Dumbo, you did buy this three times.
Hopefully not from the same guy.
It's possible. It's totally possible. Like, I shook my head when the second one came, but when the third one came today, I was like, what have you done?
Wait until the fourth one shows up tomorrow.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, I hope
so. Take your meds. Take your meds, Dumbo. Oh, man. Oh, well. What can you do?
Oh, that's crazy.
What can you do? I was going to read more.
You don't have the cover there, do you?
I do. If you hold on a second, you guys chat amongst yourselves, and I'll fetch.
All right.
So I've been catching up on the Oblivion Song.
So okay.
I think I've just read issue 20, and I picked up 27 today at the Grey Guardian. So it's and then I have three doubles. Just like Martin, I'm up to three doubles now because I didn't have them on my CLZ.
You got to fill that out every single time.
It's not like I could take them back. Like, what am I going to do with them?
You go back and you say, my bad.
Yeah. Really? I don't even know which stores I got them from now.
Yeah. So brain damaged that I don't understand. Sorry, I don't need three copies to do that. I don't know how we managed to do that all the time and get multiple copies. It's ridiculous.
It happens.
I got two copies of the Enemy Ace DC Archives number one coming, and I need issues one and two. So right there, I wasted, you know, the money that I could have spent on issue two.
Mm-hmm.
Just bonkers. But yeah, here it is. So this is the Dynamo. Oh, yeah. Dynamo, Man of High Camp, Thunder Agent from Tower Books. The Higher United Nations Defense Enforcement Reserves. That's what Thunder stands for.
Is that a novel?
Yeah, well, like it's a, you know, those back in the day you could get novel reprints.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Like I got a whole bunch of these, like Batman and...
I've got a Batman one.
Gil Kane's Starhawks. The first time I read Starhawks was in a reprint like this. Yeah, I got these sometimes it was the comedy ones like Wizard of Id and stuff like this. But whenever we went on a road trip, Dad would stop, get gas, and buy something like this at the gas station and throw it at me in the back so I'd shut up and not be a pain in the bum. Here, read this.
Well, you know what? That's a good way to have peace and quiet, right?
It worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
It worked.
Yeah, we went out to BC when I was a teenager, and I went into a corner store, and they had Brute Force. I don't know if you guys ever remember that. It was like a comic where this scientist turns animals into, like, they can speak, and they have weapons, and they run around, and they, like, shoot stuff. And I bought issues 1, 2, and 3. At this corner store, and I read those things till the covers fell off. Like, it was so cheesy, but it was fun. And I mean, it was a 5-hour flight from Vancouver Island all the way back to Ontario. So I read the crap out of those books.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
Well, that's how I got into Invincible. The guy over in Buffalo or whatever, where we were waiting, we were flying out the next day, and he's like, "Hey, have you ever read Invincible?" I'm like, "No." So he talked me into buying the first few trade paperbacks, and I read them on the plane, and I was just like, "Wow, this is awesome!"
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it was up in the high numbers, so I just bought the other trade paperbacks.
That's not necessarily the bad way to go, because then you avoid all of the issues that are stupid expensive to buy. That they don't have to be that expensive, but they just are.
Yeah.
Usually the first 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're Spawn.
Yeah. Well, and then the first 10 are worthless. It's the 200s that are expensive.
Oh, I still don't get that. That's just, it's just because I guess everybody wants those homage covers, eh?
Oh, it makes me sad because I need them to complete my run and I can't afford them. Mm-hmm. They're like $100 a piece and there's like 10 of them.
I know, it's bonkers. Wow.
So I will spend more money buying that small section of collection than I did from one to that spot at like 219. Like, it's just insane.
That happened to, you know how there's these collectors who seem to think that the last few issues of a series are super highly collectible because they're rare, limited print runs.
Yeah,
and I paid more for the last 5 issues of Conan the Barbarian than I did for any single issue other than issue number 1.
Mm-hmm. Like, my friend had that with the Akira Marvel Epic line that I think was from full color and the proper back to front reading, where the last, I think, 5 issues were limited printed, like 5 years after the previous issues. It was crazy.
Yeah. And then it's like $1 billion to find them and get them. And
yeah.
And of course, you know, the completist OCD triggers. And it's like, I gotta have this. I don't care if it's $75 for an issue of Conan the Barbarian that I'll never read. I gotta have this.
Well, I'm missing 4 issues of G.I. Joe. 150 to 153. And they're like $80 an issue.
What? Mm. How come? What's that all about?
Honestly, they literally were very small print runs at that point, and people just weren't buying them. So, like at 155, they actually canceled the series because it was getting so slow. But the sales were so slow. But what kills me is that I remember seeing those on the shelf when I was a co-op student at Another World. I saw them. I bagged and boarded them and put them in the bin for like $2 an issue. And I was like, I'm not into G.I. Joe anymore. I'm a big guy. And I'm like, I wish I'd have bought the one so I didn't have to spend a bloody fortune to finish my friggin' run.
Mm-hmm.
But oh well, I guess you live and learn, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hurts.
This guy on eBay's got issue 149 for $368.
Ouch!
Another fellow's got a listing for $750.
Oh my goodness!
For issue 150,
he might be a little high, but
I think so. But
they're not cheap issues to get, and I guess every year they get harder to find.
That's crazy.
I don't know what the print run size was on them, but you know, like you can buy issue 1 for like $40.
Yeah.
You know, from like, what was it, 1983. But the issues from the 90s are like ridiculously expensive because they canceled them. Probably the most expensive G.I. Joe book was the G.I. Joe Special. And it's got Todd McFarlane did the cover, and it's got Snake Eyes on the cover, and he's in the Spider-Man pose. And what happened with that is it actually came out after they canceled the series. It was just a timing thing, and nobody bought it because everybody was so sick of G.I. Joe. Nobody bought them, and they are stupid expensive too. And I bought one, and it was expensive, and I didn't want to pay that, but I had to have it. So I think I paid $85 or something for it at Comic-Con.
Here's G.I. Joe 150 and 151 sold for 113 Canadian.
Yeah.
$70 Canadian for 150. Holy moly. It's time to go bin diving, I think.
Yeah. They're hard to find. It's, I guess, the same as the Transformers stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, by the time you got to, what did they go to? 81, I think. People just weren't buying the series anymore. And so by the time they hit that point, people just weren't interested. The print runs were really low. And the books are expensive if you ever want to be a completionist. And I am, and it kills me.
Maybe there's one of the G.I. Joes at Guardian in Pickering.
Yeah, digging.
If there is, it'll be on a wall. People who have them know what they have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I gotta find out what the print run is now.
Oh. Yeah. That G.I. Joe special came out in 95.
Yeah.
According to this. That must have been one of the first homage covers to Spider-Man 300.
That's just Spider-Man 1, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Spider-Man 1, yeah.
But I you're probably right. I don't think homage covers weren't really a big thing.
No.
At that time. Now they're all the rage. Everybody's copying everybody else and, you know, Photoshop instead of draw.
That's nuts.
What's that? What'd you find?
Nothing yet. No? But that's just astronomical that's the prices.
Yeah. Did you start buying the trades yet? You said you were going to.
I was looking at it, but I haven't yet, no. No, I mean, they're up to, like, what are they up to? Like, volume 500?
No, it's volume 2. But it's with IDW now, and they're up to... Oh, you mean for the trades?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure. They're at, like, issue 2 something now, 260, 270 something, 273, I think, was the last one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's come a long way from, you know... blue and red lasers.
Yeah, like if I go to books, graphic novels, G.I. Joe, well, think about an omnibus. G.I. Joe classics, I don't know what the difference is there.
That's probably the Marvel stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. So it'd be the IDW. Yeah, like G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, Volume 23.
Woo!
Intelligence.
At $20 a piece, eh?
Yeah. And that, it doesn't say what issues it collects.
Usually they're anywhere between, what, 4 to 6, 8 issues sometimes? And it's not many.
Oh, here you go. This volume brings together issues 261 to 265.
Yeah. That's how much is it?
On the Amazons, it's $23.75.
Yeah.
Or you can get it on Kindle for $8 if you're a digital type person. I know. We'll see.
Yeah.
They got the Omnibus for $80.
That's not bad. What issues are in the Omnibus?
First 12 issues. I don't know. I feel like you can buy the first 12 issues of G.I. Joe for less than $80 Canadian, can't you?
If you can find them.
Yeah, they're starting to get a little higher because there's a lot of first appearances in the early books. Like, I think issue 11 is Destro. And have you seen the price of issue 21, which was the first silent issue? It's also the first appearance of Storm Shadow. Check out the price on that. Like a CCC 9.8, because I wanted to get one just to add to my collection, right? I have the book, but I wanted to get a nice, like, CGC book. Look at the price of those. Let me know what you think.
Just a bit bonkers, eh?
Oh,
I have a copy I found at a flea market, and it's been read a few times, so it's not It's not going to CGC anytime soon, but I picked it up.
Yeah.
Figured, what the heck? Why not?
Yeah. It's one of those books that whatever you paid for it, it's worth more than what you paid for it. But wait till you check out the sold prices on it.
G.I. Joe 146 was 190th top seller in terms of units sold, but it doesn't say how many units it actually sold.
That was like with the ninja stuff. That was like started around in the 130s.
Yeah,
I think people love ninjas, and then they got tired of them real quick.
Here's a very good one on eBay. Somebody wants $40. The 421? Reprint is $60. Reprint, $60. Like one of the reprints that came with toys.
Oh, nice!
You guys are nuts. Yeah. Oh well, I mean, all the comic book stuff is nuts right now. $600 for 25 issues of Thor. Because
that's insane.
Some nut bar, what's his name? Null or Cull or Canule or Knorr? Dr. Utker, whatever the heck his name is.
The Venom guy, right?
I have no idea. I don't know. It was issue 2 and issue 6 that the guy was all, well, can I see 600 photographs of the corners? And I was like, no. Buy it or don't.
Yeah.
I got pictures on the listing, and if you don't like the pictures, then don't. I mean, that's what you get for buying online. I mean,
yeah.
Now, the main reason why I said no is because they were in the storage locker. I didn't want to go get them again. But, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Just buy it and move on. And eventually somebody did. Like, somebody lowballed me $200 US. Somebody else was like $250. I just kept climbing up. And then somebody, I think it was $450 US. And I was like, okay, good enough.
Yeah.
That's close enough.
Oh, that's even still, that's pretty crazy. I don't know. I'm sure they got a bunch of books, but
I should figure out how much it actually cost me to buy that, though. What is it? $3.99 an issue back then? Because it's not that long ago. 25 issues times 1.13 in taxes times the exchange, because I probably wasn't getting a discount. So it cost me $150 for that run, Canadian. Yeah. And I sold it for $600. Well, plus the eBay fees, plus the listing fees, plus the PayPal fees, plus this, plus.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining. I still probably netted $450 Canadian, $500 Canadian. So
that's not terrible, really.
No, for 12 issues that were probably just going to sit in my storage locker until the next time I had a dollar a book sale.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like a lot of the books that you sell for a dollar now, I mean, who knows what's in them, right? Like all of a sudden, like Chris was mentioning, what was it last week? Batman number 313. All of a sudden, a $5 book, you know, overnight went from $5 to, I think it's like $25 now for a very good copy or something.
Really?
And then, mm-hmm. I think I had, what was it, a 9.0 that I kind of threw up there on our Facebook chat, and it was like $375 this guy was asking for a 9.0 CGC 9.0. And for what, really? Mm. You know, a possibility of a potential character who has potential to be somebody bigger. Like, it's so random and confusing, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even follow it anymore.
Batman 313 rockets on eBay after Joker Warzone Tim Fox rumors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still of a firm believer that, you know, for every one book that does kind of skyrocket like that, you have the exact same equal financial value of books in your collection that you bought around the same time that are worth nothing.
Oh, zero. Absolutely. I probably have more that are worth that. If I was to turn around and sell my collection, majority of it is not worth more to, like, you know, a collector than 10 cents an issue.
Yeah,
and exactly. Trust me, I paid a lot more than that for it, even at cover price.
Exactly. So. Like, I don't know how many Thor reboots I've purchased, because I kind of followed it ever since Straczynski rebooted it there. And then I don't know how many I have, like how many's been released, but this is the first time anything has been worth any kind of value. Yeah. So, I don't know. It is what it is. What can you do?
Well, I mean, like anything, I don't really have. I mean, I've got like my my wall books, I guess you call them. But as far as like, you know, a modern that all of a sudden is worth a lot of money, I don't have anything like that really.
So, trick question. Is anybody looking for, or is anybody looking forward to anything that's coming up? Like, is anybody
Ronin. Ninja Turtles, yeah. Ronin.
Yeah, what the heck happened with that? It's
something like, to do with the artwork or something. They pushed it back a few weeks.
It's kind of like disappeared out of the previews and stuff. I don't know. It was there and then it wasn't.
Well, Sean checked it, and October 28th is when it's coming out, apparently.
Okay. I'll admit, I have it on my list, so I've got my copy coming, but I'm interested to read it, but I don't know. I was getting kind of nervous, because it seemed like maybe it fell off the radar or something.
It says that... it was originally supposed to come out 19th of August. Then it got rescheduled to the 16th of September. And now it's
I read something about artwork.
Yeah, now it's been rescheduled to the 28th of October.
Yeah. Because they're not just like regular book size. They're like square bound, right?
Yeah, the issue one's $8.99.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit fancier. Yeah, it looks like the art team changed. I'm not even going to try to pronounce these people here. Esau Escorza and Isaac Escorza.
You don't want any more people sending you bad messages saying, stop butchering my name.
Yeah. Coincidentally, somebody posted on Facebook a little post that someone from Africa was talking about how in Canada, probably in the U.S., not in Canada, you know, people are butchering their name and asking if they have nicknames or an Americanization of their name.
Stuff like this.
And I was just posting, like, as somebody from, you know, with Polish heritage, this has been going on for 100 years with my people. And, I got a cousin named Bogdan Mienzybrodski. And his name at work for decades was Danny Brodsky, you know, because people couldn't pronounce Mienzybrodski. And it's like this is not an uncommon problem. This has been going on for a long time. Unless you're named after one of the apostles, just give up. You know, just give up. And then parents like me who keep messing with their kids' names and strange and unusual spellings and stuff like this, that didn't help either. My poor kids will never ever find, you know, when you got the pens on our display rack or the key tags with everybody's name on it. For me, it was license plates. When I was a kid, they had mini license plates for the back of your bicycle.
Yeah.
It looked like an Ontario license plate. It would say Mark and John and Paul. And you think there was a Martin? Nope.
No, but I bet you there was a Ringo.
Yeah, there was never a Martin. And I'm sure there was never a, Isau Escorza.
Yeah.
There was probably never a Pablo. Not up here in Canada, anyways. I don't know, man.
But you know what? That's almost a better problem to have than I was always one of five Chris's in any class. Like, it was. So then I have the unfortunate that my last name is Ellis, right? So they would do your first name and your last initial, right? So we had a Chris G, and I'm Chris E, right? Yeah, yeah. That was unfortunate, yes. So yeah, that was awesome. Too. Yeah. So you know what? Popular name, not popular name, doesn't matter. It's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
is what it is. I mean, I never, ever, ever mispronounce somebody's name to be disrespectful. I do it because I'm a tongue-tied moron who can pronounce Mienzebrotsky, but I can't pronounce Espinos. You know, Takara. For decades, oh, what was it? I'm trying to remember. It was the guy who owns Panasonic. Matsushita or something like this. And if you kind of anglicize the pronunciation, you get this big, huge, long kind of samurai sounding name. And then his son started racing cars and it was pronounced Bachusta. And I'm like, that's not what that says. There's no way in a million years I would have guessed that the pronunciation of that last name is Bachusta.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I mean, that's how it is. That's how you pronounce it. That's how we're going to start pronouncing it. But boy, did I get that one wrong.
Well, it's yeah, I can relate. Yeah, exactly. My tongue is English and bad English, so
yeah. it's bonkers that I have no problem pronouncing Slavic last names and yet tongue tied at how to pronounce Sean and Sean. Oh yeah. My gosh. Anyways, yeah, like X-Men, what was his Banshee's name? There's no way I pronounced that right when I was a kid.
Sean Cassidy, isn't it?
Sean Cassidy.
No, what's okay, then maybe his maybe I'm thinking Banshee from Superman. One of them is like Shibon. Yeah, anyways, never mind. Just embarrassing myself here trying to pronounce Irish names and Scottish names now.
Yeah.
Forget about English names and African names. I can't even pronounce Irish names.
I'm surprised Adam wasn't in there with the Highlander stuff on that one.
Oh.
Ramirez. The Spanish Egyptian Scottish guy.
Yeah, there you go. It's the silver banshee from DC Comics.
Oh, okay.
Sibohan. I got no clue. I got no frame of reference. Not me. For the longest time I thought it was Dark Seed, not Dark Side. And when Luke Skywalker was released in the Luke Skywalker was released in the Bespin Fatigues. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, Dumbo Martin was pronouncing fatigues for like 10 years until something corrected me.
Hopefully not when you were in the military.
It's the Bespin Fatigues. Like, I don't know what that is. That doesn't speak English. I didn't learn how to speak English. What's fatigues? That's how you spell fatigues? And don't get me started on lieutenant. Oh well, what can you do? Yeah, I was just trying to rock my brain. Is there anything that I'm like super excited about that's coming out? Anything that like it's just I don't know if it's just COVID drain or what, but I just can't think of anything that it's like, oh, I gotta get this when it comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I kind of, you know what? Like, as the months go by, my pull list is getting smaller.
Yeah.
And smaller. It's not intentional. Like, if I see something that catches my eye, and like I buy like weird stuff, like they have a series out right now and it's called Hollow, and it's basically like a modern telling of the Sleepy Hollow story.
Yeah.
So I haven't actually cracked into it yet, but I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. But it's only like a 5-issue series. So I've got issue 1 and 2. So, you know, we'll see where it goes, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Chapter House has a few more trade paperbacks coming out. Invasion trade paperbacks soon. Year Zero trade paperbacks coming out. I don't know. Marvel's re-released a few of their Epic collections I missed the first time around. I mean, there's just nothing that's, I gotta get this. I gotta have this.
Yeah.
I have on pre-order the X-Men Milestones of Age of X because I don't have it as a trade paperback. I just have single issues. I pulled out my, if you can see it, my Fatal Attractions. I think it's like a 90s print trade paperback, like the spine.
Oh, yeah.
It's super old.
Yeah, Fatal Attraction. That was good. That was when Wolverine gets his adamantium ripped out. That's a pretty decent series.
The picture of me holding up that issue when I was like nine.
Yep. The kicker is the big push was that for everybody to buy Wolverine number 75, which is where the actual adamantium was supposed to be. But it doesn't happen in that issue. It happens in the X-Men issue before that, X-Men like 25 or something. So if you actually bought 75 expecting to see that, you don't. All you see is the aftermath of him having the adamantium pulled out. So it actually happens in the X-Men book before 75. But there was like this super big hype around 75. Oh, he's going to get his adamantium torn out. And then it doesn't even happen in the stupid book. It happens in the one before it.
Yeah, like, they really didn't want to do blood in this.
Like, no, it's kind of tame for as far as modern standards go.
Yeah, even where the adamantium's coming out and it looks like spikes, it's colored in as skin color instead of like silver.
Yeah, but it was very it was kind of really cool when it happened at the time too.
Well, lads, we got about half a minute left here before I gotta play the end credits, so. Let's just remind everybody that you can download episodes at heykidscomics.ca, where, of course, I'll be available as a podcast on all the major streaming things, Amazon, Google, Apple. Do a Google search. You'll find us, no problem. All right, lads, that's it for us. Have yourselves a good night.
You as well.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.